Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastama Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavat Sandarbha and Yayana 3, Adhikarna 3, Transcendental Attributes of Bhagavan. Page 72. The same Supreme Brahman, without contradiction, is perceived by yoga and jnana with contrary qualities, because the followers are fixed in a particular faith directed to the same object. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.32. Udvriti, Srila Prabhupada. Although the impersonalists and personalists fight with one another, they focus upon the same Parabrahman, the same absolute truth. In the Yoga Shastras, Krishna is described as follows. Krishnam Bhishan Gambaram Ambuje Kshanam Chatur Bhujam Shankha Gadyad Yuda Yudam. Thus, the pleasing appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's bodily features, his limbs and his dress are described. The Shankya Shastra, however, denies the existence of the Lord's transcendental form. The Shankya Shastra says the Supreme Absolute Truth has no hands, no legs, and no name. Hyanama Rupa Guna Pani Padam Achakshur Ashrotram Ekam Advitiyam Api Nama Rupadikam Nasti. The Vedic mantras say Apa Apani Pado Janavo Grahita. The Supreme Lord has no legs and hands, but he can accept whatever is offered to him. Actually, such statements accept that the Supreme has hands and legs, but they deny that he has material hands and legs. This is why the Absolute Truth is called Aprakrita. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has a Satchidananda Vigraha, a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, not a material form. The Shankyites or Jnanis deny the material form, and the devotees also know very well that the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, has no material form. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Brahma Samhita 5.1. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the supreme prime cause of all causes. The conception of the Absolute without hands and legs and the conception of the Absolute with hands and legs are apparently contradictory. But they both coincide with the same truth about the Supreme Absolute Person. Therefore, the word Vastu Nishtayoho, which is used herein, indicates that both the yogis and Shankyites have faith in the reality, but are arguing about it from different viewpoints of material and spiritual identities. Parabrahman, or Brihat, is the common point. The Shankyites and Yogis are both situated in that same Brahman, but they differ because of different angles of vision. Right? So that's the point being made, is that people come up with these different angles of vision because of their particular situation. Right? So depending upon how they're situated spiritually or materially, then they're going to have different opinions, because they go by what is their perception. Right, what they perceive, what they've realized. So, for the devotees, they can understand the Lord. They have faith in the Lord in that way. But for the non-devotees, they won't. They can't, because they have no spiritual, samskar. Right, so that personal samskar, they don't have, so they can't appreciate it. Right, so that's why, for us to gain that, we have to gain it from the association of devotees, because we don't have it either. But by the association of devotees, then we hear about Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. We have that faith, because we have that faith and perform our service with that faith, therefore then we appreciate that and understand that. Understand? So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that they're both talking about the same absolute truth, but they see it as contradictory, so they'll fight over it with each other. They're dealing with one absolute truth, but they're seeing different aspects of the same one absolute truth. So one's just seeing the impersonal aspect, and the others are seeing the personal aspect. Because of that, then they'll argue over all these things. So that's the difficulty. Yes?
I see even amongst devotees there are different perspectives, different level of consciousness.
Yes, no, that will always be there. But the focus is on one point.
Yes.
Is on Krishna.
Yes.
So that's the common ground. That's how all devotees then can work together as a community, is based on that Krishna's the center. Mm-hmm. But depending upon their realization and their faith, then they may be seeing with more or less of a spiritual vision in different areas. So one place, like chanting the holy name, they may be very strong on, you know, or taking prasad or worshipping the deity. Or it may be it's strong in chanting and the worship of the deity, but not in prasad, because then if it's not organic, if it's not this and that, it's going to kill you and all these kind of things. It means every day you're dying and somehow or another the food's going to kill you. You know, like this. And so they can't see it in the context of Krishna. They can't see his prasad, Krishna's mercy. And so then they're seeing with a material vision. And because of this, that'll be opposed to someone else who's seeing differently than that. When someone is seeing, Krishna likes this, that's why we're cooking like this. Someone else, oh, the sugar will kill you. Oh, you know, we can't take the dairy product. Oh, this. So it's a problem. So it's just difference of vision, difference of the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. It'll come up. And so you're going to get that. And that's just minor things. Or whether you follow Varnashram or not, or, you know, how much you follow it, or, you know, even you're following Western culture, then what does that mean? Which Western culture? Because, I mean, technically, according to Western culture, then culture means French. Technically. We're talking about the West, of course. It's obvious, right? You know, the Brits will, you know, try to, you know, kind of like keep up with the scene, and they have their own identity like this. But at least they all kind of think together as a group. But then the problem comes up is then where are you dealing? Okay, now what about Eastern Europe? You know, then they'll consider, well, that's something different. Only Western Europe is actually like that. And the fun part, what was called Eastern Europe is actually Middle Europe.
Yes.
You know, what do you call it? Not Ujjain. Not Ulaanguttun. Next to Poland?
Ukraine,
yes. Starts with a U, sorry. That's Eastern Europe. You know, Moscow, that's Eastern Europe. You know, all those, Azerbaijan, those are Eastern Europe. You know, Poland, all those guys that we call Eastern Europe, that's actually Middle Europe. So I think there's a thing of that before in the trade. I think Bulgaria or these places, these were the center of the whole European trade. Because coming from the east and going to the western side and from the south and north, it would go through Bulgaria. And so that's why they were, you know, in their day, were, well, you know, one of the more developed culturally kind of places like that. I think they have a city there that was also designed after Paris. That anything that, there was some connection between them and Paris, that anything Paris wanted to try, you know, the lamps, street lamps, and all that, you know, they'd try it there first. And then if it worked, then they would do it in Paris, and I think also the underground trains and all these. They tried it first in this. I think it's Timisoara or something like that. It was someplace there that they would try it out there first. And then if it worked and didn't fail, then they would use it in Paris. You know, so you had, the problem comes is that you have these differences, and it's seen as, but all that, technically that's all Western, because it's European. Europe is Western. You know? Like that, but then some will consider it's not, you know. Oh, well, that's not, you know. It'll have a different flavor. Oh, that's not actually the West. But then if that's the West, then what's America? That's farther West. You know? And so that's the whole problem is that each area has their own culture that they do not get along with someone else. Like someone from the West Coast, they will not really agree with anyone from other parts, the middle of America. You know? And then you're going to have those from the South don't really like those in the North. Every country is like that. It's funny, is that you go from, let's say you start in Poland, okay? That's North. But when you go South, to South Poland, they act like Southerners. But then when you go across the border into, you know, Slovakia or Czech, then they'll act as Northerners, and you have to be on the Southern, you know, just like in France, you'll have the North, they act one way. Southern France is another way. You cross the border into Italy, then you're going to have Northerners, and then you have to go to the South to get the Southern. So each area, region, it has the North, South, East, West, the mountain people, by people in the plains, people on the ocean, the people inland.
Yes.
Each place has that. And then we're claiming that, you know, that we'll have this one universal kind of thing. When it's pointed out here, is even those who are into philosophy can't agree with each other. You know, let alone the culture and these other things like that, the food, the dress. So, but everybody, that's the point being made, everybody is dealing with the same one absolute truth. No one's dealing with anything different. Because there's a concept, food is nourishment. So then what is food? That would be a difference of opinion, but the principle of food and that it nourishes, that's Krishna. You know, you have dress, and so that, you know, the culture and the whatever it is, or the practical aspect, but that's also Krishna. You know, governance is Krishna. You know, so whether one is using, a more liberal government, a more conservative government, you know, a democratic or a monarchical or other kind of, it doesn't, it's all the central point is Krishna. He's the one that makes it all work. So that's the thing, is that you have the one absolute truth, the person who from him everything emanates. And then the difficulty comes is everything's coming from the Lord, and because we don't see the Lord, we argue over everything. You know, so then it's like that Vedic example of the elephant and the six blind men. So each one has a totally different idea of what is an elephant. You know? So like that. It goes into any area. So you take it into the culture, into the religion, into the philosophy, into the diets, you know, into the lifestyle. It'll always be different. But it's coming from one original source. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The Shankyas and Yogis are both situated in the same Brahman, but they differ because of different angles of vision. Right? The directions given by the Bhakti Shastra point one in the perfect direction because the Supreme Personality of Godhead says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati, Bhagavad Gita 18:55, only by devotional service am I to be known. Right? The Bhaktas know that the Supreme Person has no material form. Whereas the Jnanis simply deny the material form, right? They know, see, one knows he doesn't have because he has a spiritual form. But the other just denies the material form. But there's no question of discussion of a spiritual form, right? There's no form and all they know is material, so then therefore there's no material form, right? One should therefore take shelter of the Bhakti Marg, the path of devotion. Then everything will be clear. Jnanis concentrate on the Virat Rup, the gigantic universal form of the Lord. This is a good system in the beginning for those who are extremely materialistic. But there's no need to think continuously of the Virat Rup. When Arjuna was shown the Virat Rup of Krishna, he saw it, but he did not want to see it perpetually. Right? So in other words, we'll use the Virat Rup, you know, in seeing when we're so materially absorbed, we see things, you know, simply on the material platform. Then you're going to see how Krishna is within that. Then that will bring us to the spiritual platform. And at that point, we don't need to see the Virat Rup anymore. Then we just see, okay, what service to do to Krishna as a person then. So whenever you don't have that natural, spontaneous, devotional understanding, then this aspect of the Virat Rup is used. But we see the Jnanis, they'll situate themselves there. right? They're known as the Hiranyagarbhas. Right? So the yogis, the Hiranyagarbhas, they all go to Brahmaloka.
Yes.
It's how you, it means because the gross, it's hard to see. So you go to the metaphysical, and from the metaphysical, then you see the connection to the Lord. So it's the, for those who are on the gross platform, they may not be able to appreciate that. But then if the jnanis, they can appreciate the metaphysical platform, but they see it works because of the supreme platform. So then they connect it there. So for the devotees, then it's a very easy, you know, Krishna says it's all his opulences, his vibhutis. And so then these vibhutis, then Krishna then follows. Right? It means he has these, you understand that, you absorb yourself in that, and then you are able to see Krishna. Right? So it's a natural thing. The difference is that why we say the virat rupa is not something you'd always use, because we're starting from the material, then bringing it to the point of Krishna. Right? While, let's say, like the gopis, they see the tree and it's black, they're starting with Krishna, and this tree is black like Krishna, so it reminds them of Krishna. Right? So they're starting with Krishna and then seeing the world, while we're seeing the world and then adding Krishna. But the point is it works. But the descending one, that's the one that's going to give you prema, or cultivate prema. While the other one is going to be more of an inductive, but it'll get to the liberated platform. But we're applying that inductive asset because of the deductive knowledge we've gotten from the Veda. Right? So we've heard about Krishna and his opulences. Then I'm starting with my position, and then adding Krishna into that. So even though I'm using deductive, it still has that flavor of inductive. You know, that's what we mean by mixed devotional service. Because it's about Krishna, but it's about us also. But you see, with those who are sarva dharmam parityaja, then it's purely deductive. It's about Krishna. And so this situation, being Krishna's situation, how is this situation going to be pleasing to Krishna? And then how do I fit into this situation if I do? If I do, I have my service and I serve Krishna. So it's purely a deductive aspect. You're starting from Krishna, the situation, and how we fit. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so then there is Krishna, then there's the analyzing the situation, and then how we fit into that. So all these aspects of Shabda, Anumana, and Pratyaksha are perfectly there in pure devotional service. But they're just part of devotional service. They're not a separate thing. When we separate it, so that's the thing, the jnanis, the yogis, the karmis, they'll just take a particular aspect of it, and that's all they'll use. They'll try to do everything from Anuman, everything from Pratyaksha. You know, so that's why then there'll be contradiction, that's why there'll be difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah? We're just saying it has the flavor. Technically it's not, but it's still, there's that little flavor of it's Krishna's there, but I'm starting with myself, because that's all we know. As Krishna reveals himself, then we have that field in Krishna consciousness. Then more and more that becomes our starting point. Until at some point just the material consciousness disappears. He therefore requested the Lord to return to his original form as two-armed Krishna. In conclusion, learned scholars find no contradictions in the devotee's concentration upon the spiritual form of the Lord, Ishvara Paramav Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. So, does that make sense? So learned scholars see no problem with the devotees absorbed in the Lord. They also see is that these others are going to see on their level. And we don't see a problem in the devotee using, because he wants to see the Lord in his original form, but he has a tendency to forget. Yes. So then he may use these techniques of virat rupa to remind himself, to bring himself there. Yes. Right? That's the whole point. The last chapters of Gita are so that you can appreciate that. Yes. These are the techniques. And then in the middle ones, he shows, like three chapters, he shows how his vibhutis are there, so you can see him everywhere.
Jiva Goswami attributes the Virat truth to Sri Radhakshaya Vishnu. So why is it so? Because it's about the omnipotence and then...
Because it's all pervading, he's everywhere, he's the controller of it, he makes it work. While with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then it's going to be that all-pervading aspect from the Brahman platform. The one's going to be all-pervading from the Paramatma, the other's going to be from the Brahman. Brahman's the energies, the masculine feminine principles, how everything works, all these kinds like that. But then the point is that's what's there, but how do you fit into it? You have fit into it because you have a duty within that. That's Paramatma. Just understand the mechanics, that's the Brahman aspect. But understand how you fit in there and what is your duty, then that's the Paramatma master. So it's a higher level. Because then it will always be piety. While the lower one, it could be impiety. But you're seeing how it still mechanically works connected to Krishna. So you get purified, but it'll bring you to that platform. So devotees naturally would work on that platform, that Chiradaksha Vishnu. But both aspects are the Virat Rupa. Is that what I'm saying? So, yes.
Definitely, when we speak that first we have to see Krishna, then situation, then how we feed him.
Yes.
How we can understand that.
Because it's, what are we doing? We're doing things for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So if it's always about Krishna's pleasure, then whatever situation you're in, then you'll see how you can serve Krishna to make him happy. Does that make sense? Because you're always starting with, it's about Krishna's pleasure. So whatever situation, like you walk into the kitchen, then for Krishna's pleasure, what can you prepare from what's there? You know what I'm saying? Well, generally we'll walk into the kitchen because it started with us. We're hungry. That's why we walk into the kitchen. Then what's there? And okay, yeah, that we can still offer that to Krishna.
Yes.
It's not too weird. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
It was 6 middle chapters of Bhagavad Gita. In that chapter, Sri Krishna explained pure bhakti yoga knowledge. So why did he put knowledge about the universal form in this 6th chapter?
Just because we're trying to see Krishna everywhere, right? So then by the universal form there, then those 3 chapters, then he's explaining how he's everywhere, how the devotee can always be absorbed in him. Right? Because otherwise you have the difficulty is that many times devotees run into is that when they're performing their sadhana, you know, like at the temple or home, these are obvious that it's devotional. But then when they have to, let's say, go out and go to their occupation and things like that, they don't see how that in any way connects to devotional service, because I'm not chanting japa, right? You know, I'm not necessarily wearing my tilak or my dhoti. Like that, everybody around's not devotees. There's no deities, right? So the five direct aspects of devotional service aren't there. And so for many, because they're still seeing things on an external platform, right? Even though they're dealing with Krishna, and so Krishna's not external, but they're seeing that the ritual of this is what makes it devotional service, rather than its connection to Krishna is what makes it devotional service. Therefore, the universal form is there because you can see these external things. Right? You know, it's just like if you're really thirsty and you drink some water. Right? What's it going to be about? You're not going to talk about, well, you know, quenching it. You're going to talk about the taste. You know, that was nice. That was, you know, it's just, you understand? So that's the point. That taste is good. That's what you're hankering there. That's Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, the light of the sun and the moon. Because what's about the sun? It makes light. What's the thing about the moon? It makes it, it's this, you know, the beauty that it has, the light. Because when it's a dark moon, no one's going out, oh, let's go out and, you know, sit under the moon. Moon's there, but, you know. So it's the full moon, that's it, because it's the full brightness. You understand? So that's the light, then, is what we're looking for. So Krishna's showing is that whatever we're looking for in this world, it's actually him. But we have a tendency to think the item itself is what's important.
Yes.
Right? We'll say the moon's beautiful, but why is it beautiful? Because of the light. Right? And so that's the whole point. The beauty's the light. He's the light in the center. Does that make sense? Because otherwise we get distracted and think it's other things. Yeah. So that way then the devotee, whatever he does, wherever he goes, he can always see Krishna. That's the idea. So directly and indirectly. Right? Because directly in the holy name and this and that, and indirectly through his energies. Okay. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, less intelligent non-devotees think that their conclusion is the ultimate. But because devotees are completely learned, they can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. Right? Because being learned means you actually understand the connection with Krishna. That's what you're trying to get to. Yoga refers to scriptures which advocate worship of a gross form, asti. When the name and form of the Lord are mentioned in the scriptures, they meditate on all material names. Okay. Yoga refers to scriptures which advocate worship of a gross form, asti. When the name and form of the Lord are mentioned in the scriptures, they meditate on all material names, like pot and cloth, and think of Patala as the Lord's feet, from rash imagination arising from visual objects. Shankya refers to jnana scriptures, which advocate no form, nasti, since the scriptures forbid names and forms, right? So that's why I say Hiranyagarbha, they mean yogis.
Yes.
So you have the karmis, the jnanis, and the yogis.
Yes.
Because Hiranyagarbha, so at the same time as you can see the yogis, there's the jnana aspect, so you can count them in there, but they also have the karma aspect because they're starting with the gross form and the physical activities, so they can be counted as karmis. Because if the yogi goes only up to the point of the yogic siddhis, then he's a karmi. So he's performing the activity using yoga to get material facility, right? While the karmi will use the yajna and the sacrifice and charity and all these things to get to that. If the yogi goes past that into samadhi and absorption of the Lord and therefore wants to merge into the Lord, then he'll be in the same category as the jnani. Right? But instead of just using knowledge, he's using meditation to get to that point. Does that make sense? So that's why it means if you're giving a full, then you mention all three. But if not, just saying the karmas and jnanis is enough. You know, and then when they're talking about the jnanis, they might talk about the jnanis and the yogis, or the Hiranyagarbhas, right? So that's why you see that sometimes there's an overlap. Since the scriptures forbid names and forms, they forbid all name and form for the Lord, since they can conceive only of material names and forms. Right, so on both sides, they only know material, so therefore, God has no name. So they don't understand, he has no name connected with the material. His names are connected with his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These two types of worship were previously described in the same chapter. Sasarva nama satcha vishvarupa. The Lord is all names and all forms in the universe by his external energy. Yadyan nirupitam vachasa. His form cannot be defined by words. Nirupitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4, 28-29. So it can't be defined. But you can use it to express. But that it has that devotion there. Then people can appreciate. But the words themselves, how they're going to... Words are limited. How they can explain the unlimited. You know, it's just like I say, eternal. You know, or unlimited. And so we have a concept of that. But it's not that the word is actually describing the unlimited. It doesn't have that same quality. Right? But when you're discussing things in connection with the chit potency, then it has that same potency. It's not different. So then you're able to describe. So that's why in Bhagavatam it can describe the Lord in his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Because it's connected with the Lord. So it's not the words themselves, it's the potency of the Lord that allows that to happen. Some are fixed in these two concepts, vastuni nishtayoho. This produces quarrel. The two parties have contradictory qualities. Viruta dharmanoho, because of different concepts, bhina of asti and nasti. Right? So they have a gross form, asti, and the other ones have, there's no form, nasti. So one accepts a form, asti, one doesn't accept a form, nasti. So because of that, then they argue. Though both of them are dealing on the material platform. So in one saying, he doesn't have a spiritual form, doesn't have a material form, therefore there's no form. The other one is saying that, these potencies of the Lord pervade everything, and in this way then the Supreme is everything, and so then they look at these to concentrate on the form, because they're supposed to concentrate on the form of Paramatma. So then to get them to the spiritual platform, they see all things in that way. And so then they're trying to get, how does that work? So get the potency in that's there. Does that make sense? But the problem is they're both having a material approach. And because of that external approach, that's why they argue with each other. Yes?
That's why in the Vedantic texts, even Shankaracharya says, Narayana Parasarva, Lord Narayana is beyond the gunas.
Mm.
So we cannot see with that approach of materiality.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Purva Paksha, right? So the doubt. So it means they must have given some point before, right? There must have been the Shamshaya before, and then another Shamshaya. So this is...
It's doubt moving in the same line.
So this would be the doubt from jivas of the shelter presiding deities of the senses. Right? Because if you're looking at the presiding deities, it means that there you take it further to the Virat Rup, but you're saying the jiva is giving the shelter. Because if the jiva didn't think of them, then they wouldn't have any... in other words, if we weren't doing anything, they'd have nothing to do. That's like saying we're the support of the police force. It's just like the criminals could say is that we're doing a very nice work for society because of us there's the police force, and because of the police force then the general person is protected. So we're doing a great service to society. So that's this philosophy. Is they have it backwards, it's self-centered. Purvapaksha. They are arguing about different objects. Right? So one is saying we're dealing with Brahman, the other is dealing with the Virat Rup, and that's what you said in the material with the curl concept. So they too have nothing to do with that, each other. Right? They're apples and oranges. That's their philosophy. Uttara. No. The two have the same object. Eka stayoho. In this quarrel, the object perceived through agreement or compromise, samam, should be favorable for both. Purvapaksha, what is the agreement? Uttara, it is a different type of entity, param, since it does not have name and form, and also has name and form. That object which simultaneously possesses and does not possess name and form is different. Right? Because we're used to things, they either have a form or there is no form. So we're used to these two. But here's something that has no form and has a form. That's different. So it's outside of our, context. So that's the person and the entity that they're both talking about. Because one is looking at the no form aspect of this entity, the other one's looking at the form aspect of the entity. But because they're not going to the transcendental platform, therefore then there's a problem. This should be said. Scriptures should cancel each other by advocating name and form, or forbidding name and form in one object. Based on the previous reasoning that the Supreme Lord had name and form, and did not have name and form, the only solution is that the Lord has non-material name and form. This agrees with the conclusion of both types of scripture. They simply argue, quarrel over their positions. Right? Because the entity that they're worshipping, there is no contradiction. Yes. So all they're arguing over is their position.
Yes.
And the technical way they're approaching their methods is, that's actually what they're arguing.
Right. Can we say that the jiva is accustomed to be identified with this position?
The jiva,
the conditioned jiva.
Yes. Because Krishna being an individual, the living entity is going to, is an individual. And so they're going to try to identify. Because unless you identify, how do you know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So without entity, then there's not there. Or at least in application, there can be feeling, but there still has to be the identity to apply it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So just like you have that parental attraction, right, the rati. So that attraction is there, that's the first thing, but then in a particular situation, how does someone in that rati therefore perform service for Krishna? You understand? So there has to be an identity. Just like, let us say we're in Nandabhavan. Okay? And it's, early in the morning. So having that parental rati, then that would mean, let's say, waking up Krishna, bathing and dressing Krishna, then cooking and feeding Krishna. Okay? So in those situations, so when he first is there, if he's sleeping, then you would wake him up. If he's woken up, then the next thing would be to bathe him and dress him. Right? And then once he's dressed and bathed, then there's feeding him. Right? Because you don't eat in bed. You don't eat without taking bath. You don't take bath in bed. You don't eat in bed. So all these different options are there. And so this is how Krishna likes it. That's why the rules are there. Otherwise, if the rules aren't there, then because of the spontaneity, anything can be done at any time. And then how do you see to the proper unfolding of this expression? If every time it's so different, they don't have any connection with each other, how do you arrange the environment? Because it takes more than the feeling. The feeling has to be expressed through the environment, through action, through results. Yes?
Also, we were discussing that if the vibhavas and anubhavas are not proper, then the rati is curtailed.
Yes. Yes. So, in other words, just as you have the Icha aspect, the Kriya and Jnana aspect are there to support, and they must match. So that's why when the situation is Krishna's in bed, Mother Jashoda is going to wake him up. Right? Because that's in the morning. But at night, the same kind of situation, then she's going to put him to bed. That's what she would do. So you get up in the morning early, you go to bed at night. Does that make sense? So then you have relationship. When you have this, anybody can do anything whenever they like. Where's relationship? Because where how can you apply to the situation what's there? Because everybody's doing their own thing with it. So then you have no relationship. So that's the problem. The modern society is so much talking about having, these nice relationships and personal dealings, but at the same time as they're working with great effort to break down all authority that governs those things that create the opportunities for relationship. All authority, all tradition is being broken down so that anybody can do anything, but if anybody does anything, where's the common ground? Where does that work together? A hammer and a nail go together, not a hammer and a watermelon. So that's the problem. It is without understanding the science, they're trying to apply it. Does that make sense? Or then, like, we take the situation further. It's after breakfast. And so then Krishna's going out to the cowherd fields. Right? So now, from him waking up in the morning to his bathing and dressing to his feeding him, Mother Jashoda's been around the whole time. But now he's going out to the fields. So, because of her identity in applying that rati, she doesn't go out in the fields.
Yes.
That's not where her service is applied.
Yes.
So therefore, then when they get to the edge of of Vrindavan, then she stays there.
Yes.
And the cowherd boys, they go on to the fields, into the forest. But she doesn't.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole aspect, is that then you have the ratis first, and then there's that application of the rati and the identity in the situation. And so then there's control and all that. So, and that's the spontaneous platform, because it's about expression of rati. So spontaneous means expression of rati. Spontaneous doesn't mean just whatever you feel like.
Yes.
You're expressing something. If it's just what you feel like, that could be changing at every moment.
Yes.
But the point is that we're spontaneous devotional service is based on a stai bhav.
Yes.
Right? There's a fixed flavor. And so therefore, within that fixed position... Well, the modern, we're talking about that freedom, because we don't want to have anything fixed. Because by being fixed, it's good for one thing, but it's bad for another. And I want good in everything. Right? But then if I get the benefit of everything, that means everybody else has to be getting the downside of everything for me to get the... So that's the problem. Everyone wants to be the center. And then they fight over that. So it can't work, even though they're trying like anything to have a nice, wonderful relationships and social system, but it's impossible. Because the method that they're using is whatever we'll use that will break it down. Like, I want to cook and all that. And so, let's say I'm going to start cooking, and I say, hey, hand me the frying pan. He says, you're still using frying pans? Oh, well, that's so archaic. Why are you using a frying pan in that? Nowadays, people use a plastic bag. Like how much frying goes on in the plastic bag. So that's the whole thing, is that, but I want to be free. Why do I have to be, held down by all these traditions and all that? Why can't I just do whatever I want, whenever I want and all that? It's kind of like you can, but you won't get anything properly cooked. So that's the thing, is that you can break down all these things, and then you won't have any basis of relationship.
The main thing is to accept authority.
Yes.
If you don't accept authority, there is a real problem.
Yes, if you don't accept authority. At the same time as they don't accept authority, but are establishing themselves as the authority that everyone else must follow. Because if it's a matter of not accepting authority, then it wouldn't be natural you don't accept them as authority also. But they want to be accepted as authority. So that's the meaning of modern, is that it's not based on the authority of the scriptures. It's based on the authority of what you feel like. That's modern. So this whole thing, oh, they feel like it. They'll take it that, oh, that's being spiritual. No, that's being modern. Because the point is spontaneous means within that flavor, then you know how to move through naturally. But otherwise, if you're changing this and that, then that's not spontaneous. It's not stable. So Mother Jashoda, on the path of devotion in the parental attraction, then she is able to see where that path moves, and so she's always on the path. That's the spontaneity. It's not because of the rules. Her feelings only move within that path because he's only interested in the taste of that path. But if we're trying to get, a little of everything, or a lot of everything, then it won't work. Because there is a common point. You have to know how the system works. So this whole point is that, it's just like I was saying, there was one Mataji was making this statement, and it was interesting. It was in one sentence. She was talking about the independence of women and that, and and all these people being so caught up in their so-called tradition and all that, that they can't understand how women can do so many things like this. And but at the same time, as she was mentioning that, she was going, I think, to Jagannath Mandir, and she got on the bus. And she had to stand because nobody would get up out of the seat. But why do you get up out of the seat? That's a tradition. So she's saying about the tradition. So she wants the tradition to break the tradition where she can't do certain things, but she wants to maintain the tradition where she gets all the facilities. In other words, all the facilities are there that the women get from tradition they want. Anything where they feel that I'm not getting results, that's what I want to break. But if you break, you break the whole thing. Or if you keep it, you keep the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, you break authority, you break it on all levels. You know, and if you accept authority, you accept it on all levels. So that's the difficulties. We're not seeing things properly. We basically it's just I want everything. You know, it's like that I saw that decal on that car, you know, window. You know, how in the back window in India they love to put decals on there. Like in the West, I think it's illegal, but you know they love to put them. So this one is as the car went by. The back, it says, all I want is everything. You know, very simple, straightforward. Like that. So, that's the difficulty. And it's being cultivated and all that, simply because, one, the opportunity for sense gratification is there and everyone wants that, but two, it makes money. Like that. Right? So that's it. This should be said. Scriptures should cancel each other by advocating name and form or forbidding name and form in what object, right? So the thing is these two can't, how do they cancel each other? Because there is no material name and form. There's only spiritual name and form. So by there only being spiritual name and form means there's no material name and form. And that you want to establish there's no material name and form, it's because there's spiritual name and form. Dhruva has stated the position of no conflict. O unborn Lord, previously I knew the variety of gross and subtle elements manifested as animals, plants, birds, snakes, devatas, demigods, demons, humans, and total universal form composed of Mahatattva and other elements. O Supreme, but I did not know what was superior to that material form, and did not know the form of Brahman in which sound does not exist. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.13. Uddhriti. Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj here compares his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. The position of a living entity is to render service. Unless he comes to the stage of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he engages in the service of the various forms of trees, reptiles, animals, men, demigods, etc. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers, another the demigods, and another humanity. We don't think of that, but yeah, they're serving the dog, they're serving the plants, right? Another the demigods and another humanity, or his boss in the office. Right? That's the ultimate. Say all the, have all the philosophy you want, just make sure you do what the boss says.
You cannot escape that.
Yes, you cannot escape that. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. Aside from common men, even men who are elevated in terms of spiritual understanding are at the utmost engaged in the service of the Virat Rup, or unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord, they worship voidism by meditation. Dhruva Maharaj, however, had been blessed by the Supreme Lord when the Lord touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead. Real knowledge was revealed from within, and Dhruva could understand the Lord's transcendental form. Dhruva Maharaj here admits that not only was he ignorant, but by years he was only a child. It would not have been possible for an ignorant child to appreciate the Supreme Form of the Lord had he not been blessed by the Lord who had touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.13 purport. He mentions form and sound in relation to the Lord. Bhupa rupam arupam cha param eva. O King, the Lord has form and also has no form. Has four arms and does not have four arms. Vishnu Purana 6.7.47. Param means a form having four arms. This will be shown later. I did not know till this time. Tanna Ved Me. Right? And so until he was blessed by the Lord, he didn't know.
Yes.
He was looking for the Lord, but he didn't know where to look or anything. Just as mother said, the sages go out to the forest, so he must be out in the forest. So, so he's out in the forest. Anucheda 53. Yonu grahartam bhajatam paramulam anamarupo bhagavan anantaha namani rupani cha janma karma pir bheje samahyam paramah prasidatu. May the unlimited Supreme Lord who, without material name and form, manifests names and form with his birth and activities in this world, to show mercy to those who worship his lotus feet, be pleased with me. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.33. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Considered with scrutiny the conclusion of non-devotees who say that God has no name, and that of the devotees who know that his name is not material, are practically the same. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name, form, birth, appearance, or disappearance. But nevertheless, he takes his birth. A janma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. Prakritim svam adishkaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although the Lord is unborn, aja, and his body never undergoes material changes, he nevertheless appears as an incarnation, maintaining himself always in the transcendental stage, Shuddha Sattva. Thus he exhibits his transcendental forms, names, and activities. That is his mercy towards his devotees. Others may continue merely arguing about whether the absolute truth has form or not, but when a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, sees the Lord personally, he becomes spiritually ecstatic. He who does not have name and form manifests, bhaje, names and forms along with his birth and activities. Not to have name and form would be a fault. That is expressed by the word ananta, unlimited. Because if he's unlimited, then he must have names and forms. Because to say, oh, the name and form limits, but the point is being unlimited, he can have unlimited names and forms. But he just may not have material names and forms because he's beyond the material. But at the same time, as through his potencies, he is transformed as the material energy. So even those names and forms are still Krishna, but not his transcendental form. But the point is that they function in that way, they have that potency because of being a reflection of the original form. So. If he does not have names and forms, it would mean he does not have shaktis. Right? So we're saying he's unlimited, but there's no shakti.
Yes.
Then what's the point? The Prachetas say, na hyantas tvad vibhutinam so nanta iti giyase. Since there is no end to your splendor, names and forms, you are called ananta, the unlimited. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.31. The cause of his manifesting name and form is his shaktis. Bhagavan means possessing auspicious shaktis. The word parama, supreme, excludes shaktis made of material maya. Parama means he in whom Lakshmi, ma, exists as the parashakti. If his shaktis were material, it would be a fault to his supreme position, it is said, right? So, to be unlimited means there must be shaktis, otherwise how does everything manifest? Because then that means everything manifests is separate from him, so that it's not him, and he's supposed to be everything, and unlimited and all-pervading, then that means that's a fault, because this place is not him, he's not pervading, he's not in control of, so that means he's not unlimited. So that means for there to be manifest things, there must be shakti. So that means Brahman has to have shakti. Right? And so therefore, as unlimited, therefore there's unlimited names and forms. But at the same time, as we're not talking about the material energy. Right? He being Param, he deals only with the internal potency. And the internal potency transforms as the forms and that we see in the external.
So Sannyasa Maharaj, when we try to define unlimited, means we can sink to anything, and unlimited means it's present in the Lord.
Yes, means the Lord is unlimited. So that, but the point is that unlimited is coming from the person, because unlimited is a neutral quality. So all qualities come from Krishna. So that neutral aspect is also coming from Krishna. You understand? It has to come from the person, because if it's neutral, why would there need to be qualities? Why would there be manifestation? You understand? Because neutral doesn't manifest anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So even we see Brahman, that the material energy is based on Brahman, but it's the Shaktis that are transforming.
Yes.
So activity is going on.
Yes.
So there has to be the personal aspect. The unlimited, the impersonal aspect can't be the origin. Because that means the personal can have the impersonal. The impersonal doesn't have a person.
Yes.
Right? A person can have a house, but a house doesn't have a person. Like that. Right? People make a house. Not the house makes people. Now the house is there, and then it makes people to run around in the house. It is said, Tasman na mayaya sarvam sarvam aishvarya sambhavam. Amayo Hishvaro yasmat tasmat tam paramam vidhu. Therefore, everything connected with the Lord is not produced by Maya. Everything arises by His spiritual powers. Since the Lord is without Maya, He is known as the Supreme, Vishnu Dharmotra. Yeah, so it all arises from His spiritual powers. Right? Shamshaya, right? So the doubt, new doubt. The proof of whether the Lord has names and forms or does not have names and forms is the existence of worshipper. Who are these worshippers? Uttara. I manifest my forms and names for giving mercy to those who worship my feet. I reveal names and forms not to the followers of yoga or shankhya, but to the devotee. Bhaktir evainam darshayati. Bhakti alone reveals the Lord. Matara shruti. Thus, it is correct to say that the two parties are only interested in quarreling. Right. So it mentions here, he manifests his forms for the mercy of those who worship, and he doesn't reveal for those who don't.
Yes.
Like that. Bhakti alone reveals. So they're just by arguing to argue, because they like to argue.
Yes.
You know, there's a taste in arguing.
Yes.
There's a taste in thinking, I'm right, someone else is wrong. So, yeah.
In such situations, it's better to refrain from dealing with those people?
Best, because otherwise, see, those who like to argue, it doesn't matter what you say, they'll create an argument. You know, that's it, they can create over anything. You say, it's daytime, they'll say, well, not exactly. You know, or not, you know, maybe here, but, you know, in America, it's not daytime. You know. Yeah, just to argue, they'll bring it up. I remember once there was this one devotee, he loved to argue. And so he knew what would get you arguing. So he would just come in and say that, and then you'd start the whole thing. And then when you get so frustrated, no matter what you say, it's like that. I remember walking out. But they would follow because they didn't want to stop. They were getting such a taste out of it. They kept following. And I'm going up the stairs trying to get away, and they're following and keep throwing things out, to, you know, just to keep it going. Because, you know, if you get you upset, you know, you'll stop and then argue. You know, like, it was so weird. They just like the argument. Because, you know, that's where the taste is. So the whole point is if you're right and others are wrong, then it gives you an identity. Then it gives you a position, then you know how to work, it gives you a purpose in life, you know, and that kind of thing. So the point is that's why it said this good and bad is not the actual position. It's whether something connects to the Lord favorably or not. That's the real position. So you can say something's good because how it connects to the Lord in a favorable way, and say something's bad because it doesn't connect in a favorable way. So that's the whole point. Then you're discussing the Lord. But here you see we're discussing below that. You know, is using these rugs, is that good or bad? It's about that rather than what service it does, what's the purpose, you know, these kind of things. So you just argue over whatever you can. There's two things, then you argue over it. Is that... Later it will be said, iti stuta samstuvata satasmin aghamarshane pradurasit kuru shreshta bhagavan bhakta vatsala. O Maharaj Parikit, the Supreme Lord, affectionate to his devotees, on being praised by Daksha, appeared at that holy place known as Aghamarshana. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.35. Because he shows his form to persons who worship his feet. The form must have existed previous to that. Right? So, if you're saying that he's saying it's just the worshippers, means the proof of whether the Lord has names and forms or does not have names and forms is the existence of worshippers. Who are these worshippers? Right? So, you have those who worship the original form and those who deal on the material platform, so they either accept a material form or they reject that material form. So ultimately, there's no form, right? But for him to reveal his form to the devotees, that means the form had to be there before. So it's not that the devotees created the form. Otherwise, just by being a devotee, you'd see the form. Right? Why would you be a devotee? Because you're a devotee, that creates God, and now God then reveals himself. No, the form has to already be there. Like that's Charanam pavitram vitatam puranam vena putas tarati dushkritani. We become purified and can cross samsara by that pure eternal foot which extends itself everywhere. Mahanarayan Upanishad. Bejay is the past tense to indicate that his limbs are eternal. Right? So it's using past tense to show that he was there before. Right? Even though there's no time, they show he used past because he was there before. Like was it Narayano? What is it? Yeah, Narayano Parovyakta. He's there before. He's there before the Avyakta. Bhajay is in the past to indicate that his limbs are eternal. Since the Lord is Ananta, eternal and infinite, so are his names and forms. Thus, the Lord is devoid of material names and forms. Daksha spoke thus to the Lord. Riti, the Lord is devoid of six transformations, and his name, form, qualities, and activities are all transcendental. You could put the Lord's form is devoid. That will work, and so you don't have to have too many does. Okay, now having established that he's devoid of the six transformations, and his name, form, qualities, and activities are transcendental. Next, from Anuchedas 54 to 61. The form of the Lord is established as the highest realization of the highest goal of life. Right, so you're establishing that the Lord is beyond the material nature. We're in the material nature. That's all our problems. So that then we're the soul. The soul is beyond. But now, how do we get beyond? By taking shelter of the Lord, who's beyond. You have to establish that the Lord is beyond. Having established that the Lord is beyond, now then you can see is that of a realization of the Lord who's beyond, the highest realization is the personal realization of Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So you're just taking it a step by step. So the logic that's here is just very exacting and goes through, so everything's nicely included.
Mark, can we say it is a mixing of logic and also revelation?
Yes. It means, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that Krishna's beyond logic. But it's not that the explanation of Krishna consciousness does not satisfy the intellect. Right? Because you can't explain through logic because of the bhakti potency, because of that realization. But by logic, you can't understand. You know, it's just like The pot itself is not going to cook anything, but through the pot you can cook. You know, because some are saying the pot is everything, but no, it's the cook. But the pot's still you. Oh, it's the cook. We don't need the pots. No, you still need the pots. Oh, so it's the pot that we're... No, it's the cook. Oh, we don't need the pot. No, you need it. That's always the problem. We always take these two extremes. You know, it's a niyamagraha. It's either it's all about the rule, and if the rule's not exact, it's not bhakti. Or no, bhakti's independent. We don't need any rules. So the point is they both go together. They're two aspects. The Lord... And then his name, form, qualities, and pastimes means he's there, and then everything else is there. His energies are there. And then he interacts with all these energies. So both go there. Because we have a tendency for this impersonal. That it's just one. We can't see the difference. Oh, so it's different. No, it's also one. Oh, so it's just one. No, it's just there's difference. Oh, so it's just no. We keep doing that kind of thing. Okay. So the next Anucheta affirms the superiority of the devotees of the Lord who realize the form of Bhagavan is the ultimate goal through the realization of Brahma. So they can realize the Lord because they realize the transcendental position of the Lord. They don't see him from the material platform. Adhikarana 4. For the form of Bhagavan is the highest tattva. Okay, so then this is all in this Adhikarana. Anuchedas 54 to 61. Yes.
Like Brahma is the first living entity, then the...
We're not... I don't think we're talking about Brahma here as...
No, that's form of...
Chaturmukh, right? We're talking about Brahma, meaning Brahman.
Brahma. No, it's the realization of Brahma. That's a series of verses.
Yes.
Through his realization...
Oh, of Brahma.
Of Brahma.
Oh, okay. So they're going through the realization of Brahma. Okay. Yeah, we need to put that long A there. Because otherwise, depending on where you have, then it means different. Like in the Shrutis, depending on where the swara is, it means the jiva, it means Lord Brahma, or it means a Brahman, or the Supreme Person who is Brahman.
So we have information of all these Prajapatis and all coming through Brahma. There's no point mentioned about Lord Vishnu coming through Brahma. So if
he says realization.
Yeah, so if Daksha is praying to Yajna and inviting Lord, so can we use this argument that Lord has to be beyond the form and all, because Lord appears.
But it's beyond the material form, but it doesn't mean that he's beyond form. He has an original form, as it's just mentioned. How could he reveal his transcendental form if he didn't already have it?
Means it has to be beyond existing before the creation also.
Yes.
We can use this point to prove that.
Yes. Because otherwise, something's revealed that's already there.
Yeah.
Like that. Adhikarana 4, the form of Bhagavan is the highest tattva. Anuchedas 54 to 61. Adhikarana Prakashika. Having established the transcendental nature of Bhagavan's attributes in the previous Adhikarana, next, the current Adhikarana proves that realizing the transcendental attributes of Bhagavan, such as his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, is the highest goal of life. First, in Anucheta 54. No. The superiority, or you could say in the first Anucheta, 54, like that. The superiority of then you have to put a comma. The superiority of devotional path is established by citing the prayers of Lord Brahma from the third canto of Bhagavatam. So this is on those prayers by Brahma. The whole thing's on a discussion of that. Okay. When Lord Brahma desired to create the material world, he prayed to Lord Vishnu for attaining his mercy. In his prayers, Lord Brahma states that the form of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the source of creation and the source of the senses of jiva and is devoid of the influence of maya. This transcendental form of Lord Vishnu is envisioned by Brahma only after giving up the path of speculation and performing meditation with devotion. Hence, Brahma says that the form of Bhagavan is the highest goal, which cannot be obtained by any other process except devotional service. Next is illuminated that, see, because for that you're using knowledge to get to the Lord. And that will only give you a limited understanding. To get a full understanding, you have to see its context with the Lord himself, the person. Then, to get that understanding, then you're going to take it, you have to, means having accepted the Lord's form, and that then through devotion to that, then you're going to understand it. Just like you have devotion to the knowledge, you'll have a little bit of an understanding. Or the yogis accept that there's a form, but they're still looking at it from that material point of view, comparing it to the mountains or his feet and the ocean or his weight, like this kind of thing. And so that then becomes the problem, is that they're accepting the form, but it still has that material aspect. Then, but it's only that form will be revealed in its ultimate sense through devotion, you know, to the person. So you're going beyond the position of Brahman and Paramatma. Next is illuminated by that by obtaining the vision of the form of Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, or his amshas, which are eternal, full of pure knowledge and are supremely blissful, is the greatest fortune for the living entity. The single absolute form of the Lord is manifested differently according to the different forms of worship of the devotees. These forms are envisioned only by those serious devotees who surrender themselves to the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service. By performing such devotional service, the devotees attain spiritual liberation and personal association of the Lord. Hence, only the pure devotees of the Lord can obtain the highest realization of the absolute truth. Finally, it is stated that the sarupa of the Lord is complete and spotless. The Lord is complete and perfect, as he is unlimited and without a second, ananta advaya. He is beyond limitations of space and time. He cannot be limited by another object, since everything else arises from his shakti, and without that shakti, nothing else exists. That you won't have anything existing unless there's shakti, and since the shakti arises from him, he can't be controlled by anything else. He's the controller of it. The Lord is spotless because there are no impurities present in the Lord to be removed. The material world undergoes six transformations, but these transformations do not occur in the body of the Lord. Thus, realization of the sarupa of the Lord is complete and spotless, is the highest goal of life for all living entities.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandika.